My apologies. It's been far too long since we got you a podcast episode, and you will get the most requested topic on tonight's episode. When I look at the numbers of who listens to what of the podcast episodes, the ones that we talk about mental health get the most traction and the most listening. So listen closely. This one's all mental health. My friends at Harbor, Gene Dries, who's the marketing director and a friend of mine, has been very friendly since last June of 2017 when I met her, and she invited me to have lunch with her, and we connected, and now we work together on lots of different projects. Ambulatory detox. What is that? It can help the opioid epidemic. So we'll get into what that is, and it's a new feature at Harbor. It's right in the middle of outpatient, inpatient. I'll let Jean and her guest explain what it is. Also, is addiction a disease? You should know the answer to this. We'll talk about the Chrysalis program, which I don't think I've mentioned before, but it was part of the ProMedica Unmasking event in 2017. It helps pregnant moms or pregnant women who have addiction issues, and it helps them have healthy pregnancies and even more importantly, healthy kids. And last thing, the fun thing, night golf. And as of this second, there are still some team openings available. Night golf, glow golf. It's incredible at Bedford Hills golf course. Without further ado, let's get going with my friends from Harbor. Let me reintroduce my friends. Well, one friend back from Harbor, and she has brought a new friend, my friend Gene Dries, who is the marketing director for my friends at Harbor. Hi, Gene.
Well, hi, Eric. It's great to be back. Thanks for having me.
Of course, always. You survived the marathon.
I did. I had a lot of fun. I'm a big golfer, and I love when the Marathon Classic comes to town. Tons of fun and good stuff for the city, the area.
Who did you bring with us? Who did you bring with you today to talk?
Well, I brought Jackie Caro from our SUD, Substance Use Disorder Division, to talk about some of the things we're facing and all the people we're helping in the community, because as many people know, we are in a crisis mode on some situations. So we're going to get into that.
Hi, Jackie.
Hi, Eric. It's nice to meet you.
You as well. Let's start with SUD. That's the new way we call these things. That's what the word you use?
Yes, it's substance use disorders.
Okay.
So that's my world.
Give me some of the common ones that you run into that you're trying to help people with when they come by Harbor.
The most common substance use disorder is, unfortunately, opiate use.
Yeah.
Heroin, fentanyl, prescription drugs. That's number one. It's end of fiscal year reporting time, and I just did all the numbers for our programs, and opiates are number one.
We know, we're all well aware of this issue, this epidemic, and we have been for several years now. Is it getting better or worse?
Neither. Some areas it's moving.
Okay.
I've heard in some more rural populations, you're looking at more methamphetamine use.
Mm-hmm.
Opiates are still number one. It won't get better until we have enough beds and treatment for every single person who is out there using.
What about what's some of the things that you talk about with people when you're out in the community or wherever to keep people from going down that road, or for signs to look for where someone might be trending in that direction?
Well, in the treatment side and in the community, there's an underlying reason why folks turn to drugs and alcohol to deal with life's problems, trauma.
Oh, wait, hold on. I meant specifically the opioid stuff.
I
think we're all well too versed in why we go to drugs and alcohol for things, but opiates specifically.
Opiates specifically, most commonly is they've had injury or some kind of chronic pain.
Yes.
No addictions with knee surgery.
Hey, I did just have knee surgery. And in all seriousness, they are not giving as many pain meds now. It's good to know. And I said that to the doctor, and I took them for one or two nights and threw them out or disposed of them. I think even the lay people such as myself have heard enough about this that you really are willing to have a little pain and only use these pills and medicine as absolutely necessary.
Somebody told me a story recently that they were getting some kind of surgery, and because, as you mentioned, Gene, people are aware of this. I think whoever this was turned down the medication or was like, hold on, I'm worried about the addiction, and I think they prescribed something else instead. So we're making a little bit of headway in that area?
We are. Good. Legislature has been absolutely powerful in that, making different laws for prescribers and pharmacies. You know, I've worked with girls in the past who, as young as like 9, have been on opiates since they were 9 years old because they had, you know, a serious car accident, right, or, you know, some other injury that required some pain management. We went right to the opiates, and now they're 25 in full-blown addiction. Yeah. You know, can't get a prescription, so I'm going to go to the streets.
Right.
You go to the streets, heroin's cheaper than pills.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
how it happens.
That's the truth. It is. And readily available.
Well, yeah. I guess it's good that we talk about it in the sense so that people like Gene and the story that I came across will at least ask these questions. So you're saying the number one source for this problem with this opiate, the genesis of it, is people getting prescribed these pills and then getting addicted to them?
Yeah, getting their hands on the pills and then getting addicted to the pills. And then, you know, it just morphs into what I can get my hands on.
Right.
And it's not so much for the high at a certain point. It's I need to feel normal.
Right. To take away the pain.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're the same reason we drink and smoke certain things, to numb some things, to shut our brains off. I've been there, not in a chronic way, but we've all done
this. Or stop the nausea, stop the diarrhea from withdrawing from not having opiates today.
Can you tell me, it's funny, we can talk about ambulatory detox.
Yeah.
All right, let me show Gene a picture real fast.
Okay.
Sometimes the world just lines up.
I do believe that, by the way.
Me too. Absolutely. Me too. I am making it a better point in my schedule to make sure I look at the city paper because there's some features. I've always liked the city paper. But there's a couple of features I really like.
Yep.
But then I saw this today.
Yes,
you
we
have
did.
An ad. Why would Harbor have an ad in the city paper?
Well, again, ambulatory detox, and I'll do the intro, and then Jackie can fill in some pieces. This is a new program in this SUD arena of substance use disorder that we have always wanted to offer at Harbor, and I am proud to say, as of July 23rd, per the ad picture you just showed me, we just opened our doors at our Woodley Road location. So if people know where Woodley Road is, it's over kind of near the Westfield or Franklin Park Mall area. Mm-hmm. And it is a present that day, just show up, walk in, detox clinic. And we're starting to work with people when they need the help, which I know you can add a lot more, but that is critical. When people are ready, we need to catch them. So with that, I'll turn it over to Jackie.
Wait, not yet.
Oh, not yet.
Jackie, you sit tight. Hold on a second. Gather your thoughts. Gene, is this something that's been exercised in success in other places?
Yes, absolutely.
Tell me the background there, if you would.
Well, again, it's just when you talk about a continuum of care, there's the steps, you know, inpatient to outpatient, and we've had this discussion before. A lot of times you need something in between. It's a little cold turkey-ish to go inpatient, whether it's for mental health or an SUD disorder, and then hope that the appointment 2 weeks down the road with an outpatient, first we hope you would make it there, but there's some issues that obviously become barriers. Mm-hmm. This is just another one of those levels of care, steps in care, that you can move up to or move down to. So you can be inpatient, and before we put you totally outpatient, you can go into an ambulatory detox, or you can go into that and then work your way again back out to outpatient. But it's more intense, it's more hands-on, and it's when you need it. You've talked to me about this a million times. It's about access to care when they need it. It's not when we can fit them in, because things change on a dime.
Jackie, what is ambulatory detox?
Ambulatory detox is detox that you don't have to spend the night at.
Okay.
You come in first thing in the morning. They open doors at 9 a.m. And you get assessed if you need medication-assisted treatment. Just doing that medical piece to get you through that initial detox period so you can get stable and be ready to do the treatment and all those other steps needed to become sober.
Gene, we talk all the time.
All the time.
Oh, that was the end of that statement. We talk all the time. We talk all the time about stigma.
We
and
do.
You sent this my way. I was like, I have no idea what this is. But when you told me it gets past the barrier of people who are stuck on the stigma of, I don't want to be in a facility.
Right.
I don't want to be a part of a bed.
That's right.
This mm-hmm. helps those people.
In fact, the tagline, we added it to this flyer. I'm looking at it now, and I think it's in the ad you showed me. Get help today and go home tonight.
Yeah.
That was important when I worked with people like Jackie and her team to say that you had that flexibility, not that stigma. Again, we want to, in hope, you're going back to a stable environment, not putting you back into an environment where there's using and that going on. But it is a little less stigmatizing or frightening.
Right. Yeah.
If you present that morning, we work with you that whole day. And I've heard, Jackie might be able to elaborate, that there is nothing ever really standard because it's all individualized
sure.
care. But 3 to 5 days is kind of a typical ambulatory detox stage to get people stable and figure out what is next in their treatment plan.
Jackie, could you give me a you know, like a ballpark idea of, like, let's say I show up when you guys open up. What am I expecting? What can I expect other than having to stay overnight?
Right. No. You'll come in. You will see a physician or a nurse practitioner. They will do a full medical assessment as far as where you're at based on the substances that you're using, the symptoms that you're presenting with, and if you need medication to stabilize those symptoms, to bay off some withdrawal symptoms that could be fatal, and then you stay there for 4 hours. Most people going through detox are very uncomfortable, so it's an amazing mm-hmm. area, very comfortable, constant nurse supervision. Our physicians and other providers are on site. There's case managers and therapists available if you are up to let's do some of that footwork on
Great.
The next step. But it's really about getting you through that horrible withdrawal detox period to move you into the next step where you want to be, where you can step into sobriety.
Couple of questions. One's the easier one. Is there a beds that you have, like a limit, an amount?
Right now we're at 5.
Okay.
So we open at 9, and you have to be there by noon so we can provide the treatment for
right.
you. So we have a limit at 5, so the sooner you can get there, definitely the better. Don't wait. And then we have a very comfortable area and
comfortable.
Great nurses.
I think I want to come hang out.
Well, and you know what? If I can, what I'm going to add, I'm looking at Dr. Tossif and our nurse practitioner, Ashley Kent. They are both, and I had this discussion with an ER physician who called me yesterday from over in St. Charles, who had the flyers and was referring people. And we talked about how they look approachable. And he said to me, as an ER physician, this is important because we need images of your two doctors or nurse practitioners, one of each, that don't have, again, just in a headshot, don't look like they're condemning anyone. They
right.
look like someone that you can go in and say, this is my life, this is where I'm at, don't judge me, mm-hmm. I need help. And so again, that was intentional that we put the headshots on that flyer. And I know I've worked a little bit with both these people, and their bedside manner, their professionalism is top notch. Because it either clicks or it doesn't. If you're turned off, you're going to walk out again,
yeah.
right?
It's
about catching people.
It's part of these getting these people better, being able to connect with
right.
this human
yeah.
being who is trying
right.
to get you better
right.
and give you the prescriptions, the list of things that will help you. But if you're not speaking the same language,
yep.
as I've talked about before, if you don't connect with a therapist, it's hard to
yeah.
succeed.
Absolutely.
My next question, this always comes to my head whenever we have these discussions. Insurance? What if I don't have any? How does all that work?
We can help you with that. We do have funding from the Mental Health Recovery Services Board of Lucas County, which is amazing. It's just another step of us trying to eliminate barriers.
Good. Mm-hmm.
That's really the programming that across the board that we do is eliminating barriers to treatment. Like, people don't want to be sick.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
I think about it, Gene, maybe you did when you're going through your knee thing.
Yeah.
It's because it's too much part of this course these days when we try to get care for ourselves, and maybe
mm-hmm.
not when you're in this situation, but I think people that I talk to, how much is that going to cost me to go
mm-hmm.
to the doctor? What's
right.
the x-ray going
right.
to cost me?
Yeah.
Can I
right.
see my doctor? So it's great
yeah.
that these barriers are being eliminated, especially in such dire straits like this.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, absolutely. We do. We take insurance. We take Medicaid.
Yep.
But we also have that extra
right.
support of our county. That's where your tax dollars are going. Some of that comes to support these programs for people who don't have insurance
right.
or don't have or have, you know, extreme deductibles and co-pays and whatnot. So they step in and they help us help other people.
And before somebody who's listening to this goes, I don't want my tax dollars going. Well, right. Guess what? I'm sure everybody that we know, we all know someone who has been affected by the opioid epidemic in some way.
Absolutely. That's so true.
Jean, can you, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and to tag on Jackie's thing, and to the person that would be saying that, is again, I think in our legislative advocacy, you've seen things like that. They're kind of out of the box thinking, treatment versus incarceration, helping people get better because we're spending the money regardless. And I credit the gentleman who's in charge of our prison system for the state of Ohio, Gary Moore, who I've been in meetings, who has said, I won't build any more prisons. We don't need more prisons.
Right.
I don't need any more of that. I need treatment. I need to figure out why half the people coming in, we should be helping them in some other way. And guess what? For people that are mindful of budgets, it's a lot cheaper to do it this way, people.
Yeah.
So again, I think that's the story we have to tell, is one way or another, this is what we pay taxes for. So as we try to work more efficiently, it's a win-win. It's the triple aim of healthcare: better outcomes and lower costs and faster access. That's the whole thing. If you're in healthcare and you don't know those three things, you don't belong in healthcare, because that's the whole game. And so this is doing exactly that: faster access, cheaper, less expensive solutions, and again, bending that cost curve. Mm-hmm.
Can you maybe give me any more statistics? Like, I've never heard of this until you brought it up. I don't know if it's available other places in the area, and if so, we don't have to talk about that, but maybe any data that you've seen around the country, success rates with this, and why it works, and why you were so much an advocate to get it.
You know what? I don't have it with me, but okay. I do know Dr. Combs, and we sent a company-wide email, and she attached an article, and we can even get it over, and you can hook it up on your podcast.
Okay.
That it steps people through with all that data, and why ambulatory detox is a really, it's a known entity. This isn't some kind of crapshoot approach. So again, it's not confusing to me, even as a layperson, not being clinical myself, that, you know, everybody, you come in on a continuum of care and you need to find what's right for mm-hmm. them. And before a lot of these programs, you either went inpatient because it went totally extreme,
right,
or you're outpatient. And if we don't engage them, then we have bad show rates and no one's really getting
right.
better anyway.
It's like, I'll take your layperson and go to the extreme with it. It's like, here in Toledo, we finally got a Trader Joe's, but this is for opioid, another substance addiction. We're a big city now.
Right.
The Whole Foods is never coming, but anyway.
No, you know, I just drove by that the other day, actually.
It's not coming.
I know. Nope. It's sitting there. I don't know what the latest is. But
sorry.
That's
sorry.
Okay. We digress. That's what we do.
We digress. Let's move on. We got ambulatory detox. Jackie, tell me about Chrysalis, which I'm a little familiar with because it was a big cause of one of the ProMedica events a couple of years ago I was a part of.
Yes, of unmasking mental
yes.
health. They were very gracious to us. The Chrysalis is a residential SUD program specifically for pregnant and postpartum women. So they can come in at any point in their pregnancy or up to a year after they've had their babies, and they can stay with us to achieve sobriety. They can stay with us up to a year. Unheard of anymore. Totally unheard of. Plus, even better, their children can stay with them too.
Awesome.
Actually, we were talking mm-hmm. before we came in here with you. We had three babies last
week.
Yeah,
she just told me that. Three healthy babies born last week. I said, send me that. That's good stuff.
Yeah. We have six babies on the unit right now, and it's a baby fest, but also we are having healthy babies who are bonding and attaching with their moms while their moms are getting sober and acquiring the parenting skills, the independent living, the mental health treatment, the medication-assisted treatment, their court advocacy, children's services, case plan being worked out, the whole gamut. UTalk integrated care, from ambulatory detox to Chrysalis, Devlac, our outpatient services, our case management, the entire spectrum of needs that you have as far as treating substance use, even mental health disorders, with the agency, we are able to provide it.
So I'm newly pregnant, and I'm also a heroin addict.
Mm-hmm.
How do I take advantage of the Chrysalis program? What's the first thing I do?
You call me.
Okay.
You call us.
I don't have your number, so.
Our number's 567-408-7230. All of our staff are willing and able to talk to you. We'll get some information and get you to come see us as soon as you can. If you're Eric, if you are using opiates and pregnant, we want you to be healthy and we want your baby to be healthy. Generally, we would have you evaluated by a midwife or an OBGYN, possibly most likely to start medication-assisted treatment. Withdrawing from opiates during pregnancy can be fatal for the baby,
right.
And we don't want that to happen. So often medication-assisted treatment is needed. So we would help you be able to go through that steps if that's needed. And you come and you stay with us and we help you with your prenatal care and your sobriety care. And we've even been in delivery rooms and the whole nine. We've done baby showers. And
as the marketing person, I have to jump in as I'm looking at Jackie. Again, it's all about meeting people where they are.
Yeah.
And the women feel comfortable. I've toured over there. We've seen what they're doing. It's an amazing. And this money, part of it came from the federal government to Harbor because, again, our infant mortality rates are very poor in these counties. This is one of the reasons. And we all know that if these babies aren't born healthy, they end up in NICUs. And NICUs are very expensive. And
yep.
The baby's shaking and detoxing, and no one wants that. So again, you're just seeing more creative and forward-thinking solutions to problems we've dealt with before. Again, get the mom healthy, get the baby healthy, and a residential treatment is a win-win. Keep the family intact versus emergency room, random visits, babies passing away, sadly,
yeah.
And moms back on the street.
Yeah, this is a many-pronged problem. The one thing that I've come across recently was a lot of grandparents are under
Absolutely.
Strain because the parents
they're doing it again.
The parents mm-hmm. die yeah. or are an addict, and they're now responsible for the child, and they fall through the cracks of being able to get some kind of assistance because we're not prepared, at least governmentally, for that issue. So this problem has affected everyone in some way.
Everyone.
Yeah, it really has. A lot of programs.
Before, that's Chrysalis. We got to SUD and ambulatory detox. Before we get to the fun stuff, I promise you there's fun stuff.
There is fun stuff.
Night golf. We'll get to that shortly. Jackie, while I have you here and being a clinician, would you mind chiming in with your knowledge of how addiction is a disease? Or am I putting you too much on the spot?
Oh, no, not at all. It's a soapbox of mine.
Yell at everybody on the
Jackie,
internet.
Go. Tell them.
I actually had a conversation with a family member about this recently. It is a scientifically proven disease of the brain and your responses to things of pleasure, specifically drugs and alcohol, that immediately go to that pleasure center of the brain, which creates behaviors, and behaviors become habits, and habits are hard to break, but also not a choice because of the chemicals that are going on in your brain in the prefrontal cortex. So it is a disease. You have physical symptoms mm-hmm. of this disease. You have behavioral symptoms. It affects your functioning with your family,
yep.
with your friends, with work, with the legal system, with everybody. It is a disease.
I think people get stuck on, well, it's a choice. It is, but something is forcing you. As you just illustrated, the brain is making you make that choice, just as you made the choice to get chocolate ice cream instead of vanilla. Maybe you
Absolutely.
Don't like vanilla ice cream. Maybe you have a specific allergy. Like, you didn't ask for it. That's just who and what you are. Some of us, Gene, we talk layman's terms. It's a phrase that we've all used at one point in time, and there's science to back up the addictive personality.
Absolutely.
Sometimes it gets thrown. I had a conversation with a friend of mine. She's in the behavioral science department at the University of Findlay, and she outlined on one of my podcasts, OCD is not you checking the door handle repeatedly. That's just like some nerves. OCD is, her example was, she had a patient who couldn't eat a sandwich without pulling off piece by piece the crust of her bread.
Mm-hmm.
That's OCD. Addictive personality is a thing, and it's backed up by science. Some of us can't stop binge watching something. Other people can't mm-hmm. stop doing drugs.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's very much like a compulsion.
Mm-hmm.
Like that person absolutely cannot physically eat that sandwich because of beliefs and thoughts and the way their brain is wired, because that crust is on there. It's not different than an addict. They physically cannot. are unable to function without these chemicals because of the rush of serotonin and dopamine, and then that causes different chemical reactions in your brain that lead to chronic addiction. Yeah. I'm sparing
She's with you, Eric. This is a disease. And again, you guys are close to this, and I'm looking at Jackie again. I mean, the data is, again,
it's undeniable.
It's there. It's not, the, but again, it's that linkage, perception.
The generational.
It's the generational. It's the stigma. It's back to, it is a choice. But there is, you know, it's a brain science now. So again, you and I started this with stigma. Again, you know, I always say when someone has the symptoms of a heart attack, no one judges them. They figure it out. Mm-hmm. They get the treatment. We've got to get there for people without people rolling their eyes and judging them for that. They need to get that same treatment. And the good news for our world is the funding, the legislature, things have changed. Insurance companies, I mean, it has changed. They've recognized they have to pay for these services. This is a disease.
Yeah.
You know, and so that helps people
get help. I have never met a person who said, I choose to be an addict today.
Right.
I want to shoot up heroin today. Woohoo. I've never met a person who was pleased with their life while actively using.
That's why I often say when I get the opportunity to speak and for the right audience, I say nobody ever wakes up, has a great day, you know, kicks butt at work, answers all their emails, cleans out their inbox, goes to the gym, comes home, has dinner, and says, you know what? I had a great day today. I'm going to put a bullet in my brain right now.
Right.
That's not how it works. Right. Something is wrong.
Right. Right. And, you know, it's a little off point, but, you know, since I get to field all those media calls, you know, that uptick in suicides and the different things, again, somehow people seem to understand that general perceptions better, that, wow, that's just so not normal, that there must be a disease there. And I think we need to just get there more with this SUD, because again, there's every day you open the paper and you see something, in whether it's Demi Lovato or
yep.
whoever, it's an everyday thing. And so again, clearly something is not right. They're functioning and everything looks normal, but then they take an action step that is just totally not acceptable, and people somehow now are saying, yeah, that must be a disease of the brain, or there must be something not right up there, because
it's
people don't do that.
So much a disease that it is now the top cause of death, addiction is,
I believe,
for
it.
People under the age of 50 and under.
Yeah,
I believe
there's
it.
A stat.
Yeah,
that
number
I
one.
Like stats.
I know you do.
I like
She's
stats.
Got it.
I mean, we're going on what now, like maybe six solid decades of something called neuroplasticity, the ability of the brain to change for as we're discussing, for the worse, but also for the better.
Yes.
I mean, science backs this stuff up. It's not
yep.
myth and legend anymore. You can do this.
Yes, that's so true.
Your brain is a powerful organ.
Right. Which, again, if I can add one last comment to this, I'm just excited from the seat I sit in, because it's only recently that we've gotten healthcare in general to look at the whole person. Jenny
right.
alluded to integrated care. But forever, doctors, primary care, we were looking what I call neck down.
Mm-hmm.
And then you were coming to the Harbors of the world or other areas for the neck up. And the systems or the clinical records weren't even speaking. So again, it's no wonder in many cases we didn't have good outcomes. If you go to your primary care doctor and you're overweight and he says, let's go start jogging 3 miles
right.
every night, and the person just politely nods and walks out, and then they come over a day later and they're being treated for depression at Harbor, until we address that situation, there's not a likelihood that person's going to go out for a healthy jog to address their physical mm-mm. issues. So again, that whole cost curve thing, people have finally all come together and agreed, yeah, I guess you got to treat the whole person. We got to know what's going on in their head so we can take care of their diabetes and their high blood pressure and all the other things that people deal with every day in primary care.
Mind-body connection is not
you
some...
You can't do it
some,
separate.
It's not some Buddhist monk thing, somebody walking around the streets of Toledo in pajamas and no shoes. It's the three of us sitting right here who
yep.
can speak to that. I certainly can from personal experience. It's a real thing.
Absolutely.
I will always brag when I can. I have the best damn PCP in the world, because he handles my medications, because he is brilliant with all this stuff,
yeah.
and he can tie this all
he's treating
all
the whole person. Is he treating the whole Eric Chase?
He is, and he's got a big job. All right, let's do the fun
okay.
stuff. This is coming up on August 17th. I don't get to the night portion of this because of some other commitments, but night golf happens at Bedford Hills. Is it Country Club?
It's golf course.
Bedford Hills Golf Course.
Right, up in Temperance. Temperance, Michigan.
Or Bedford.
Bedford. I live up that way.
Right
Bedford.
Across the border.
Right. Right across the border in Michigan.
Now, let me explain what this is. How can you play golf at night? This sounds ridiculous because you need sunlight because it's not like... I've never seen a golf course where there's like a baseball stadium where there's lights to shine down. Yeah. It doesn't work. So how do you play golf when it gets dark, Gene?
Well, Eric, the fun part of that in my motto on my promotional product is everybody's game is better in the dark. So we really don't know what's going on out there.
From your mouth to Arnold Palmer's ears.
But no, serious, if you can believe this, and we're the only one that does this in the area, there's lots of golf tournaments. I go to them. Lots of fundraisers for all kinds of good causes. But we actually, I just approved a PO for about $4,000 of glow light up sticks, and I'm not sure what else was on it. And the good folks at Bedford Hills take about 4 hours from about 4 in the afternoon on that day to 8, and they go out there and light up the hazards, the water, the sand, everything. And so when the lights go down, it is lit up by the flagstick is lit and enough to get down the fairway and you don't fall into the water, as I said. And we hit glow golf balls. So
awesome.
It's beautiful.
It's quite a sight to see.
It is.
And it is just fun. And this year, I actually have a drone operator, the owner of Toledo Aerial Drone coming out, Chris, with his drone, and he's going to fly around, and then we're going to do some contests where he drops golf balls for some prizes. But it is so unique. I just tell people, if you haven't done it, it should be on your bucket list. And I don't care if you've ever even swung a golf club. It doesn't much matter.
It's like
pre-festivities.
The pre-festivities are very fun, too. A lot of eating.
Yep.
Texas Roadhouse comes out. They've been so loyal. Good steak and chicken. They grill it right on site. Again, fun contest. I mean, I have to say, since I run this event, we have 36 teams usually, 5 players each. So I double shotgun the 18 holes. And it's probably about half serious golfers, or at least people that play golf, claim to play golf. And about 5 5-somes are serious. They're out there, you know, trying to smoke the course at night because, you know, that they're just
That's
good players
they
and they want to take the glow trophy home. Okay, great. But a lot of people just come out, and again, I'm not sure who's really swinging the club out there, but they come out and we have contests like the frozen marshmallow hit. How can
I
you take that seriously?
I did that one last year.
Yeah, Jackie ran it. So how serious can this be when you go and we're trying to give you a prize to see how long you can hit the frozen marshmallow?
What is that? I remember Christy,
we tee it up.
I remember Christy putting that together last
yes.
year. What's the frozen marshmallow?
Yeah, it's fun. Festivities before we go out.
How does it work?
Well, I buy a jumbo tee and we'll hit Kroger's or whoever sells those jumbo campfire marshmallows. We freeze them for 3 or 4 days. And you ran it. You saw it firsthand. People wail away and try and hit it like a golf ball.
It's a distance contest. So whoever can hit it the farthest.
Yeah. It is fun. And they have fun. A lot of laughter at this tournament.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's your version of the frozen t-shirt contest.
Yeah, right. A little bit more politically correct.
Exactly.
I'd say.
Exactly.
But there's just fun. We have frisbee golf going on out there. A lot of people come out to just support Harbor. And again, I go on my little elevator speech, but if anybody has anything to give to this mental health SUD is a full-blown crisis in here, and you wanted a stat. So how about 1 in 4 of us has a mental health diagnosis, and it's that prevalent. You know, people, again, may not believe it, but go into a room of 8 people, 2 people there probably should be treated for an SUD type of disorder or a mental health disorder. It's that prevalent. The problem is a lot of people don't get help.
And they're married together. Like, I'm the 1 in 4. If I were... if I wanted to get to the 1 in 5 who has a serious mental affliction, like schizophrenia or something like that, a lot of times the things that amplify the normal issues like anxiety or depression are the substances.
Mm-hmm.
I know they make us think we feel better, but they actually make things worse in the long term.
Yeah, so you have half of folks who are diagnosed with a mental health disorder have an SUD disorder as well.
Right, yeah. not surprisingly.
No. Ohio, think geographically, Ohio is 5th in the nation for deaths by overdose.
Yeah, we're right in the thrust of
We are in the mix of it.
Back to the fun stuff. Are you all filled up with teams for night golf?
You know, I have room for sitting here right now. 6 to 8 more teams. I'm probably at about 28 or 30 teams. And again, if you're a golfer, you know there's 18 holes. Double shotgun is 36. So probably 6 to 8 more teams. It's $500 a team. We play fivesomes. But again, you get a steak dinner. You get to do all these goofball contests. And then we go out and play 6 holes, which is just a hoot. And then we come in and we have pizza and all kinds of festivities at the end.
Good stuff.
To help people out. So it's just a good... you hear... for me, people are always laughing. We have a rock and roll band playing the whole time up from the balcony. The Bradberries are coming back.
Okay.
So it is just fun. Everybody should just come out and have some fun.
It's like...
my favorite.
I know some malls do this to fill up space where they have glow miniature golf. Mm-hmm. This is like the adult version
this
of that.
This is a
real golf course.
This is it. The adult version. And actually... Tony Geftis and Jay Birchbeck have emceed with me for years. 13's a great partner, and I believe we'll be doing the weather live. Jay tells me he's looking into that from Bedford Hills again on Friday, August 17th.
He
can do it. I just told him, deliver a nice night. Mm-hmm. Just deliver me a nice weather night. I'm happy with that. But and we have a live remote. You guys are coming out from Cumulus. There's folks coming out. So, again... I really, we need the visibility. We need the fundraising. And, again, I appreciate the people that come out. And usually, if you've come once, you're a repeat person. I have very little drop-off where they go, oh, that was fun. I'm never going again.
Knowing you need some teams, I'll send it some friends' way.
I think you need to. It's great. So $500 for a fivesome. And, of course, sponsorships are always great. I think that starts at $250, and we have different levels. And we'll give you some logo recognition. And we have a news slide ad that'll drop. But, again, it's going towards raising awareness for our services for the public. When people ask me, what's it for, Gene? It's a raising awareness of everything we do at Harbor, and it's pretty broad anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And letting people know, hey, we started ambulatory detox. Did you even know that? Or the Chrysalis program, if you know a woman that's pregnant who is trying to get her life turned around. So we're growing by leaps and bounds.
Final thoughts, Jackie? Did we hit everything? You want to yell a little more on your soapbox about addiction being a disease?
It's a disease.
It's a disease, people.
Thank you.
Just own it.
We got night golf. We got Chrysalis. We got ambulatory detox. I think we covered everything.
Yeah. I love coming in to talk about it, and I know I applaud you every time, so I'm going to say it again, Eric, because if there were more Eric Chases that would go out publicly and speak about their life, it moves the pendulum for people like me who go and ask Jackie and people, can I get a testimonial? Is there someone in your program that can talk about this? And more, again, that tide is turning. People are signing the release and saying, by gosh, I'm not embarrassed, I'm not stigmatized, I'm going to go make a difference because I know what my life was like, and I'm going to help others. And that really then helps us get out where we need to be.
You clearly know about it, the whole Demi Lovato situation.
Yeah.
And I said something ignorant about it when it first happened, but it led me in the right direction. I was like, look, I know she speaks about this. It's something that I do. But it seemed like she had stumbled for some time. She trended in this direction, and it wasn't one thing that sent her back into this relapse. And I was disappointed in that. So I asked that. It is one thing for us to talk about it, but if you're someone like me or like her, don't just talk about having it. Talk about how you got help.
Right.
Because
right.
There's a partnership there. It's one thing to go, yeah, I've got anxiety. It's one thing to not be afraid to talk about it.
Right.
It's another thing to say, I went to ambulatory detox and got better.
And that's the story that I'm always looking for. And I'll give one last plug to Jackie and to our friends at the Toledo Community Foundation, because they just pumped out their annual report. And we had a mother from the Chrysalis program who was featured in their annual report. Again, funding that came through from them, from unmasking various things. And it is something that when you sit down and read it, it is amazing. So again, someone that said, hey, it was me and I completed it and here I am with my baby and I can help you and the next guy on the journey too.
And she has one of the most powerful stories
I've
heard. Yeah,
amazing. So, but again, people are becoming more comfortable publicly signing a release and saying, it is what it is, people, 1 in 4, and I'm not embarrassed, and I'm going to tell you not only that I have it, but how I got better. And hence back to where we started this, the options out in the community, get help. Ambulatory detox, just walk in. That day that you are needing assistance, walk in.
Bring her next time.
So, it's a treatable disease.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like to say, and you can back me up or tell me I'm wrong with this, it's not curable, but it is certainly treatable.
Manageable, yes.
Yeah, and once you come to grips with that, it is no different than like a diabetes or something right. else that's chronic. You manage that just fine. You can manage this.
Absolutely.
Know your triggers. Know what to stay away from. Know what picks you up. Know when you need to get in to see your therapist.
And right, yes. Speak out.
That's what I do.
Absolutely.
I don't think else to talk about. It's either that or my dogs.
And we do like hearing about your dogs.
We do like the dogs. Hey, last question, yeah. and we'll wrap up. Anything we can look forward toward the last quarter of the year?
Oh, my gosh. You know, so much is going on. Some other announcements are coming, not okay. at liberty
right,
to speak. But I think I said it best when I said we're growing.
Good.
And I know you've met our CEO, John mm-hmm. Sheehan, and he's very progressive. And if he has one word when he speaks to you, it's about access. Access, access, access. Getting people help Good. Where and when they need it. Meet them where they are.
I can tell he's progressive because you guys are smart enough during the reverse raffle to get a program rather than doing it number by number.
I know. Wasn't that so cool? That was electronical and digital. So cool.
I did one before.
We looked almost high tech.
You did. Mm-hmm. You did. I did
high
one before
where
I had to roll the thing for every time and the evil looks you get, man.
I know.
Was our IT department in on
no,
that?
No, we actually bought a software package, but it was cool and it's
well
all
worth
random.
It. Yep.
And very well time well spent and we didn't have to spin the bucket or whatever and draw a number out. And that's what actually made that event so fun because people were just doing the rest of the fun things instead
yep.
of having to attentively listen. The screen was up and they had number 44 and every 45 minutes they could look up and see if 44 was still on the
It'll
board.
It'll be better, even better next time.
Because you're on the steering committee. Yes, Eric Chase has been joining us. So first, what did I tell you? I signed first Thursday
of May.
In May. May 3rd, May 4th, whatever it is. We will be back at the Pinnacle and that will be Harbor's other big event. So
I'm into Help Harbor, but it's superhero themed.
Yeah.
For the superheroes at Harbor.
It is our superheroes. The people like Jackie and all the people, and I'm telling you, if everybody was moved a little slower, which they don't, and wrote what they did in a day, if any of us that aren't down working daily with the clients, it would probably just blow us all away. Because again, when you got 750 people mm-hmm. and maybe 500 of them are now licensed and really working with the population, you know good stuff is happening. So we do try to share those stories best we can, but they warm your heart. They warm my heart because they do pop up and you're just like, dang, you just saved a life. You know, you just made a huge difference.
Gene, Jackie from Harbor, thank you, ladies.
Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah. Bye, Eric.
This has been a Cumulus Media and Q105 collaboration. Three unicorns were harmed and lost their rainbows and horns in the production process. We use cookies for various purposes, like eating and flavor for protein shakes. And you have agreed to this and all other secret policies by enjoying the preceding audio content, which we highly encourage you to hashtag subscribe and share. You can click here for all other legal crap. And now hit skip intro to go to the next podcast. Just kidding. It's the See More Episodes option in your app. Q105.